One of the most dangerous places you can fly may be your local pattern. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob also is a CFI based in the Buffalo, New York area, who operates Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated. We get together on Monday to talk about safety topics, sometimes from an angle you may not have heard before. Bob, thanks for taking some time out with our listeners today.
Hello, Paul. It's always my pleasure.
You told a very funny story about being stationed in Vietnam. And tell us about that warning sign you saw.
Okay. I was stationed for a period of time back in 1968-69 at Long Binh. It was the U.S. Army headquarters in Vietnam outside of Saigon. And it was a 44-square-mile military, highly secured military facility that where U.S. Army headquarters were located. And occasionally we would venture off that compound and pass through virtually enemy territory. And there was always a big sign positioned just outside the gate of our facility that said, "Caution, you are entering the danger zone." And my first trip out, I thought they were talking about we were going into an unsecure area, and basically what they were talking about was Highway 1 coming out of Long Binh and heading into Saigon, very, very busily traveled highway that the military was referring to highway accidents, head-on collisions, and running into other people in vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seemed somewhat paradoxical in the middle of a combat zone. And I use that example to try to highlight a danger zone that we have in aviation, which surprisingly is not areas of thunderstorms or areas of high probability of icing or busy airspace out over big cities. I think the most dangerous place in the sky is that area that we commonly refer to as the airport traffic pattern.
Mm-hmm.
We know, for example, that more accidents, mid-air collisions, occur in and around the traffic pattern than in any other airspace in the world. So that statement alone supports my position that this, in fact, is the most dangerous sky aloft.
You know, and that's somewhat counterintuitive, especially for beginning pilots, because especially on a cross-country flight, you know, you go through whatever stress is involved in navigating from point A to point B, and when you find yourself with the airport in sight and you're, you know, coming down to whatever, 1,500 feet, making that 45 on the downwind, whatever. I think my tendency, at least on the first few cross-country flights I made, was that is the point where I started to relax a little bit. And that's maybe the last thing you should be doing.
Exactly. And it's not that the traffic pattern inherently is dangerous. It's the fact that when people make mistakes aloft, and when they make them in areas of congested airspace, such as a traffic pattern, the consequences are far more dire than if they happen out on an open cross-country trip. It's simply because others in the pattern may not be up to their game in maneuvering through the pattern. And I use a few examples of problem people in the traffic pattern. One person I refer to is the person who's talking but nobody's listening. And this is an individual who's chatting away, giving position reports on the wrong frequency. He hasn't checked a recent sectional. There may have been a frequency change in the past 6 months or a year, and they're still chatting away on the wrong frequency, not hearing anybody replying, so they're boldly moving, thinking others are clear of their path, and that's not the case. We had another one that up here in Canada, or near Canadian airspace, we have a lot of crossover between Canadian non-towered airports in U.S., and I kid my Canadian friends, they are very, very chatty folks on the radio, and I call these folks Chatty Cathy, and we'll hear very frequently up here, and I offer my apologies to my Canadian friends. I don't mean to insult them, but if you listen carefully to Canadian transmissions, it goes something like this: "Hey, this is Charlie November Foxtrot Bravo, white and brown Cessna 172 SP, fixed gear aircraft, just 3 miles south of the 401 at 4,500 feet. We'll be passing over the dead side of the runway 21, then turning on the crosswind to join the downwind," and so on and so on and so on and so on. And they take up, you know, about 90 seconds of very congested radio space to announce their intentions. Meanwhile, blocking everybody else from not only at their airport, but other airports who happen to share the same frequency.
Well, you know, actually, that's not limited to Canada, Bob, because when I was training in Oregon, in the Willamette Valley of Oregon, at some of the little airports there, I found that those people, for some reason, always seemed to turn up on a Saturday when there were nine people in the pattern.
Yeah, and they're the nicest people in the world. And when I meet them on the ground at a breakfast, they're just as chatty as can be, just as if they were on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, conciseness on the radio is something that we all need to work on. You know, give the position report. Then we have another one I call the Mr. Magoo. This is the blind as a bat, bumbling pilot who, you know, moves from the taxiway onto the active runway without looking left or right. And, the guy who's on short final is forced to, you know, sidestep and go around because this individual never, really looked outside the window. We have this problem in our own training fleet, particularly those, who are enamored by the G1000 glass cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a common, concern that we have, that we're all focused on the gauges and the colors in the cockpit without looking out the window.
Well,
I've got another one. I really do want to mention this one because I think this is one of the most problematic things that go on in the traffic pattern, and I call this the local tour guide pilot who says something like this, Bixby traffic, I'm over the Blue Water Tower inbound for the airport. You know, and I'm traveling along with a student from out of town, and he says, well, which blue tower do you think this other guy's referring to? And I say, only he and other locals know where that is.
Right.
And that's this idea of giving position reports based upon unfamiliar sightings on the ground.
More dangers of the local traffic pattern with Bob Miller in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Hyperjet.
Hypersport.
Hypermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about the dangers you can find right in the traffic pattern of your local airport. Bob, one of them you mentioned is the amateur air traffic controller. Talk about the experience that brought that one to mind.
I was going to a fly-in breakfast at a neighboring airport, and the airspace was packed. It was full. The pattern was full. And I heard an elderly gentleman get on the radio and start giving landing clearances, you know, blue and white Cessna, you're number one, and yellow Piper, you're number two, so on and so forth. And he sounded considerably older than the mandatory retirement age of most air traffic controllers. So I listened carefully, got my landing clearance, so to speak, came down, and I tracked this individual down. Here was a gentleman. He was going about 350 pounds. Not that that was an issue, but he's sitting in a wheelchair with oxygen in his through a nasal cannula, which, dear soul, he had to take probably to continue breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And in his right hand was the microphone. And I'm not sure he could see the traffic pattern. Yet he was giving his dead level best, doing his dead level best to get everybody in on without running into each other. You know, I've got a strong and a high respect for air traffic controllers. They're professionals in every way, shape, or form. And they are trained to do this sort of thing. And when we have a well-intentioned, experienced aviator standing on the ground with a handheld mic, attempting to give landing clearances to a full pattern, I think that's an invitation for disaster. First of all, I wouldn't want the liability if I was that individual.
You know, that's what I was going to say, Bob. If something went wrong, would you want to be the guy who had assumed that responsibility?
No. I mean, I don't understand. And then when somebody comes up and hands them a plate of eggs and pancakes, of course, he puts the microphone down and jaws those down for a little while. And meanwhile, everybody he's given a clearance to, they're wondering, you know, who's next. I mean, there's just no rhyme or reason other than some, you know, and it's always a well-intentioned individual who's looking out there trying to be helpful. mm-hmm. not realizing that he could, in fact, be putting people in harm's way. Because as soon as you're giving a given a landing clearance in the real world, one assumes that you're next to go in.
Right.
And if he gives the wrong guy that clearance, and that wrong guy is immediately behind me in trail and cuts in front of me, you know, those are accidents waiting to happen.
Well, one final example, we've all seen it and we've all dealt with it coming into small airports, and that's the guy who's flying the airliner pattern with his J3.
Yeah, I call him Captain Dean Martin in his Boeing 707, if you remember one of those classic airport movies.
Right.
These guys that, and oftentimes, these are the pilots who were trained at the big Class C airports, where they are a tower-controlled airport, where, you know, they're given instructions as to when to turn base, and sometimes that's 3 miles from the end of the runway. We can't do that in these small, non-towered fields. We have to make these turns on base, you know, just no more than a quarter to a half a mile from the end of the runway. Once those patterns get out so big, we can't see the other individual, and then we have people cutting in front of them, and then the poor guy in the long downwind, he's wondering where this guy in front of him comes from, and again, accidents waiting to happen. If we could all just stay in real nice, close and tight, I use as a guidance to my students, I said, you know, if the engine failed right here in the traffic pattern, could you reach the runway? And if you think you can't, then perhaps we're too far out, that pattern has just gotten too big.
I would have to add one more caution to flying around little untowered airport patterns, and that is that I've made a lot of flights at night because A, I enjoy it, B, I feel it challenging, and there was often a situation where I would be at a small airport and somebody was using that airport to practice their instrument approaches at night. And they weren't on the CTAF frequency and they weren't really paying attention, and they just assumed that nobody would be there, and we have to make sure we don't do that either.
Paul, I'm sure glad you made that point. Mixing practice IFR approaches to non-towered fields when VFR conditions exist is also a very hazardous endeavor, because just as you pointed out, the instrument pilot is under a hood. His safety pilot might be looking at the instrument pilot, and nobody's looking out the window. And then the hapless pilot on the VFR downwind base, the final, he may have no clue as to what's going on. And oftentimes that instrument approach is a downwind approach. They're just practicing a two-weight approach, and the winds are howling out of the east, which means the pattern is going the other way. You could actually be landing into departing traffic if you're that person on the practice instrument approach. Oftentimes common sense doesn't rule in this business.
Bob, as always, we appreciate your thoughts on this Monday. We'll catch you again next week.
Thanks, Paul.
My guest has been Bob Miller. You can find out more about Bob at overtheairwaves.com. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.